This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Our robust Senate Education Committee attendees this morning, thanks for coming in. We don't have a lot formally on the agenda today, but we do have enough people here now to constitute a quorum, thank goodness. Senator Heinert and Bolin are not going to be here, I know for certain, and I think Senator Jensen is pretty sick, so I don't anticipate seeing him either. So if you want to call roll, Mona, we will allow you to do so. Actually, I guess we have to for formality, don't we, Claire? If you're not here, stand up.
Senator Bolin, excused. Heinert, excused. Jensen, excused. Smith?
I'm here.
Steinhauer?
Yes.
Shane Fish?
Here.
Kurt?
Here. Well, there's enough for a quorum, so we should approve the minutes from our last meeting. Senator Broke. Smith, do you feel comfortable? Senator Steinhauer? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved. Only have a couple of things this morning. We wanted to discuss a little bit if the committee had any interest for forwarding summer study topics. Senator Heinert mentioned to me that he'd be interested in pushing to the executive committee something to look at educational opportunities for Native American students as a summer study project. So I plan on letting folks know about that. Wayne, I don't know. What do you think about readiness testing and whether that would be something of import? I know you've been doing a little bit of homework on that, and I don't know if it rises to the summer study level. It might be a study that would have a demonstrable result after not a multitude of meetings, either understanding its operational viability or lack thereof pretty quickly, perhaps.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that there certainly is something there to be looked at. We had the bill to change the start date for kindergarten, and there was some testimony, as I recall, about some pre-screening that's done. Unfortunately, it's not done in every district, and some individuals, teachers, might not be sharing it with their parents. So you wonder, some of the times whether we're getting the full benefit of the screening that is being done. So I've talked to Tiffany with the governor's office about let's find out which districts are doing the pre-screening, and then I've reached out to a couple of my districts to try and understand what the cost is involved, I think it's worthy of doing. I don't know if it rises to the level of a summer study, if just a handful of us maybe wanted to work on it, or, possibly we could ask LRC to do an issues memo about how many districts are doing it and just some of the questions that we've got and ways maybe it's addressed in other states. Because I think we're going to be saddled with a lot of summer studies the way it is. I agree with you. This might be something, though, that could bear some fruit if we spent some time on it.
Dr. Jones, do you have any comments about readiness testing for kids and maybe not looking at a hard age, but whether someone's ready to undergo the rigors of enrolling in K-12 education, regardless of if they're 5 or 6 or when their birthday happens to fall on the calendar, and if you have any familiarity with that in other states? I'm not familiar at all.
The department has no visibility over any of this now. So, in fact, from time to time, I'll get a question about either from a preschool manager determining that level of readiness and so forth. We have early learning guidelines, which have been taken and used by schools to understand how their pre-K or their kindergarten expectations should be. The department has had those, as I think, for a number of years. But there's no formal screening that the department does, nor is there any collection of any of that information. I understand from a conversation with Senator Steinhauer and others as a part of that conversation with the kindergarten bill that North Dakota has something like that. So we can certainly contact them, and they're a very similar state in many ways, demographically, and maybe not with climate since we're the tropical Dakota, but that there could be some similarities there to run. Because currently we have zero information about kindergarten readiness and school readiness. I would also just throw in there that as personalized learning or mass customized learning happens in more and more schools, determining readiness on something other than the birthday is something that is somewhere those school districts will have to begin to think about that.
I think so, too. We require in statute that when children obtain a certain age, they must be enrolled in school, or they're truant, right?
I mean, right.
So maybe the pathway would be, no, you must be this age by to start. If you have to enroll by this age, which is mm-hmm. we also have that in statute, but maybe it's a if a family believes their child is ready, then they must successfully navigate a readiness battery of some kind that's psychological, social, and scholastic. That might be an opportunity, and get rid of the hard date, except for the truancy component, mm-hmm. which I think you said, you know, you got to be enrolled by age 7 or something in kindergarten, right? So right. It'd be interesting. Well, thank you for that. Anyone else? Comments? This is not really the purview of the Department of Ed, more of the Board of Regents, but I think many of you know, and this is, if anyone's listening on the Internet, are we on the thing? Hi, Internet. All three of you. Many of the larger academic institutions, I don't know if you've seen this, are telling their students not to come back from spring break. My daughter goes to Boston University, and Harvard, MIT, Princeton, many of the East Coast universities are saying, when you must be off the campus by this date, and once you're off, don't come back. We're going to do all computer and remote learning until we notify you otherwise. So some are extending their spring break by 2 weeks. Some are telling their students to expect a month away. I think that will probably get more traction as schools do it, because you want to be the provost who said no and then end up with half your student body sick with coronavirus. When Boston has, 55, 60 universities and colleges in its city? So I would guess that becomes pretty widespread with Boston College and all the rest of them before too long. But hasn't happened to be you yet. Riley happens to be in Central America, so she's hoping that they tell her to stay down there for an extra week or two. But I don't know what the Board of Regents has thought about doing here. We don't have any cases in South Dakota yet, but most epidemiologists tell us it's only a matter of time until we start seeing some here. And then the other thing we don't know about the virus is how long we have to be prepared to deal with it. You know, is it 6 months and most of it's over, or is it going to potentially recycle and work its way through most of us? The last thing I read about it is most of us will be impacted by it in some way. Either you will get it and get really sick, not get very sick at all, maybe succumb to it, or you will be vaccinated for it sometime in the next 18 months. So put that on your calendar somewhere in the future. Plan on some kind of interaction with it, and a good chance someone in your family will have it. So an interesting thing for us to look at from a population standpoint. And it would not surprise me if the legislature at some point had a special session to address some of the issues, if need be, funding, et cetera, et cetera. So, although the governor has broad authority under Emergency Act, I wonder if we might have to do something with it later on. That's not this committee, but just my editorial comment about education. Senator Smith.
Thank you for the cheerful comment.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here to be the wet blanket, I guess, this morning. Any other business for the good of the committee or summer study ideas, other than the two we might pass along as concepts anyway?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Senator Shanefish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do think we should look at, you know, how the impacts of the funding formula changes from 2016 are impacting our schools. And, you know, some are having some real problems with that when they're having to cut teachers and cut classes, and I don't think that's really acceptable.
Sure. So put that on the list as well, a third. Anyone else? Sure.
Oh, yeah, how the impact of the funding changes from 2016 are impacting different schools. Some are not doing well with having to cut teachers and cut classes, and obviously that's not helping when, I mean, sure, some teachers are getting a raise in one part of the state, but in others, they're either losing their jobs or not getting paid enough, or they're not filling the spots.
Just a question about that, I guess. So are you trying, is it just the collection of data trying to understand what it is, or
Well, I've obviously been bringing bills over the years to make changes to it, but there's certainly been a good deal of resistance to that. But I think at least if we're kind of seeing the impacts of it, then people might get a little more open-minded. I've had problems with pretty much every aspect of those changes, and there's been insistence on, giving it time to work, and many claims of this was part of a deal, even though I kind of been arguing there really was no deal at the time.
Yeah, I suppose the architects would say that those are the intended changes. Some would, right? The reduction in teachers and the consolidation of effort. Some would say that's exactly what the intent was. So working as drawn out, but I understand your perspective on it for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? Senator Smith.
Yeah. I grew up in a small town, Eureka. And I graduated from high school, there were 64 classmates. And today they probably have 9 in school. I'm pretty sure it was about 7 years ago, the graduating class was 4, 3 boys and a girl. So by default, the girl became the homecoming queen because there just wasn't anybody else.
It's a resume builder.
Yeah. What's that?
Resume builder.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But what I have noticed, because I have been in almost every school in the state, I've seen the haves and the have-nots. I see small towns. There's one district in the state. There are 14 towns in that district. And in the last 8 years, 12 of them have built schools. And I know that it's a desperate attempt to say that, we're staying. And because you lose your school, you lose a lot. But there's going to have to be a come to the altar moment. There just is, and people are going to have to work together to try to figure this out. The moment, and I hope people from the north central part of the state are listening in this morning. But this comes from very good authority in terms of the prejudices that people have and how that translates into making decisions. But back in the 60s, there was a football game between Pollock and Harriet. They were arch rivals, and it didn't turn out well. And so a few years ago, Pollock had to make the tough decision about consolidation because they were just but the townspeople were still upset from that long-ago football game that they wouldn't consolidate with Harriet, and they stick their kids on buses. They drive past Harriet and all the way to Mowbridge. Some people may quibble with me on that. People are from Pollock or listening in or whatever, or Harriet. But that's the kind of stuff that that people have to set it aside and say, what's in the best interest of the young people? And it probably going to require people to get on buses and take short rides or whatever. But because the school districts are – the small ones are not going to grow. In fact, it's probably going to go the other way. And it's going to be some pretty tough decisions down the road. And I just hope someone has the courage to take this on. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments by any of the 4 of us? All right. Well, ladies, I wanted to tell you on behalf of the committee, thank you very much for helping us during the session. There's a small token for you of our appreciation for helping us here. As the saying goes, we couldn't have done it without you, but we were happy to do it with you. So thank you very much. Any other business for the good of the committee or the good of the state with regard to education and how the Senate sees it? If not, we'll take Senator Steinhauer's motion to adjourn, seconded by Senator Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned until next year. Thanks, everybody.